Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God indeed is worthy to be praised. Yes. You know, I was watching a small video that just came by my feed. Going on 2 weeks now, almost 2 weeks. It was a video that was sent by a congregant here from the church, by a powerful woman of God. And she's someone who has had heavenly encounters, numerous, you know, encounters. And she shared something that I kind of hung on to and I sort of put it in my back pocket. She said that every single time we clap for the Lord, we are creating a huge disturbance in the evil kingdom, in the atmosphere. Every single time. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we clap for the Lord, it creates a massive disruption in the dark forces and in the kingdoms of darkness, because we are glorifying God. We are praising Him. And we are clapping. We're making this joyful sound, and they cannot stand it. And it actually creates physical damage in the spiritual kingdom. Isn't that awesome? So next time we say, praise the Lord, we say, praise the Lord, and we clap for the Lord Jesus. We spoke about it earlier today in our worship. Why do we clap every single time we finish a song and go to another? It's not because we are praising the musicians. It's not because we are acknowledging the singer or anything like that. We are praising the Lord. We praise the Lord Jesus. And we are creating a ruckus in the dark realm. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless His holy name. I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome all of you right now watching this. Or if this is after today, if it's after the fact, praise God. Welcome anyways. Thank you so much for watching. I don't say this hardly ever at all, maybe once in a very long while. But some of the congregants that watch this, they don't know about leaving like thumbs up and liking a video and everything else. So this kind of helps the channel out. It helps this word get out. And if in case the Lord spoke to you, by all means, won't you go ahead and they call it, what is it? Hit the like button, right? And the thumbs up, and you're welcome to share it, you know, with your friends or someone who needs to hear the word of God. I was in my office this morning. I was here very early today. And I started my day very early today, actually before sunup. And while I was in the office, we got a phone call from Nigeria. Someone actually called here from Nigeria asking for prayer. And they mentioned that they watch the live stream. They watch our healing services and all of our healing services. And he was having a problem with his voice. And he was a bit hard to understand, but he could not speak properly. So my wife, the secretary, prayed for him. And I came into an agreement also with the prayer. But I'm sharing that to say, and to God be the glory for all of this. But I'm saying that to say that the message is getting abroad. The word of God is going out. And people have been healed, you know, coming to this place, or even people that we've never even met, you know, from overseas or from across town or from a different state. And it's all for the honor and glory of God. And one of the things that helps push this media out is when you just do a simple like on the video. If in case, once again, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, if in case the message touched you, give it a like. You're welcome also to subscribe. And what that does is every single time we come on, you get a notification we are live. And then you are able to participate right then and there, minute by minute, almost second by second. I know there's a few second delay, but you're able to keep up with us in our ministry, in our live stream. And my will, my want, my wish is for the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly so you can see the presence of God, see His glory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. And before we do, let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, for being here in this place. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your authority that we have as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this power that you have given us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit for all of those who believe. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the lives that are being touched, Lord, right now by this live stream. And also, Lord, everyone who is here this morning. Bless them, Lord, tremendously. Lord, and as I always pray, may your name, Lord, be glorified. May your people, Lord, see you and hear you, Lord, and not me. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening verse for this morning is a very short verse. It comes from Revelation chapter 9, verse 16. The title to this morning's message is called Our God, Our King. We're going to speak about our King this morning, our God. May I please have Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who we worship every single day. He is above everything. He is our King. He is our God. And speaking of kings, there once upon a time was a man by the name of David, one of ancient Israel's greatest kings, King David, who was very well aware that the physical kingdom of Israel was only a type of kingdom God would establish long after he had passed away. King David. He clearly understood that there were God beings. What do I mean by that? That one of them, the one who would become the Son, will become the king over the earth and all of its inhabitants. Amen? Amen? Now, if you quickly notice with me right now, I want to show you a passage here in Psalms chapter 2, which, by the way, David wrote this particular psalm, that begins to reveal this exact thing that I am talking about right now. Psalms chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, please. Yet, I have set my kingdom on my holy hill of Zion. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. In other words, God the Father has promised universal dominion for his son. All the earth will submit to his authority. And his rule will extend from shore to shore. He will rule every single thing. He will be above every single thing. And as we go through the Bible, there are many verses that support this thought, that support just that, our Lord God reigning, our Lord God being king. We're going to take a real quick stroll through the book of Psalms. I want to bring to your attention right now a few verses that speaks about this mighty, magnificent, great God that's going to rule this earth. First one on the list is Psalms. We're going to remain in the book of Psalms, chapter 10, verses 16. That says these words, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land." Speaking directly of the Lord our God. The Lord our God is forever king. And he will be king until the end of time. And when time ends, he will remain king beyond that. Next one. Psalms chapter 22. Now, verses 27 and 28. "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." There we go. Now we're going a little bit far into detail. How is this going to be like? The kingdom of God. What is he going to do? Who is going to consist of this kingdom? The Bible says, all the nations. Let's continue. Still remaining in Psalms, now we're going to jump over to chapter 29 verses 10. It says this, "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever." Right. I think we're starting to get the picture here. Our Lord God being king. How about Psalms now 45, verses 6, that says this, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." King David really had a handle on this, didn't he? He fully understood that his God one day was going to be a ruler of everything, king over everything. Now, jumping forward a little bit to Psalms, now going to 145, verses 16, that says this, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." So as we could comprehend here, we have the psalmist, we have King David, for instance, who knew very well the concept of all of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign, and there's no way around it. And this has been passed on for years and years and years. It's been passed down to generation and generation. It's been written on the scrolls. As a matter of fact, there was a wonderful prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ around the time of Isaiah. I want to bring to your attention right now, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Some magnificent words. I'm just going to remind you right now that all these things now are being passed down from generation to generation. All these things are recorded. As a matter of fact, as early as Genesis chapter 17, God began promising that royal offspring would come from Abraham. It all started from there. You know the passage. Genesis 17, 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, the Lord God is speaking to Abraham right now. And right now, in this particular occasion, this doesn't specifically designate the King of Kings per se, but when combined with other promises, we can rightfully include this verse among those that prophesied about our Lord Jesus. In Genesis chapter 49, God's prophecies, through Jacob, that the scepter, the kingship, in other words, shall not depart from Judah's line. Our Lord Jesus' ancestry goes directly back to King David, then back to Judah, and thus to Jacob, and then to Isaac, and then back to Abraham, to whom the promises were given. God's word remained true through the lineage of Abraham all the way down. There has always been someone on a throne. Amen? And this promise was given to Abraham. But now, watch how things change just slightly to our favor per se. Now going over to the New Testament, can I have Galatians chapter 3? We're going to read verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verses 29 says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, praise God for that. Hallelujah. Wow. Isn't that awesome? We're talking about a kingdom here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus ruling one day. And now, Paul is saying that because by faith we believe, we have accepted the Lord Jesus, we have been baptized for our salvation and believe everything, all of a sudden now things change for the better. Right? Verses 29, and if you are Christ, if you belong to Him, then you are Abraham's seed. Wow. And heirs according to the promise. And what is the promise? Oh, the list is quite long. The promise is wonderful. Absolutely magnificent. Now, do you see yourself differently after reading this verse? Do you view yourself differently now? Wouldn't it be nice for you to see yourself now as someone who belongs to the majesty, to this kingdom that is the Lord Jesus Christ, this heavenly kingdom? Now, one thing that I want to say about all of this is this. At the time of our Lord Jesus' very first coming, when He first came as a child, as a babe, right? The Jewish people were looking for a Messiah to rescue them from their subjugated state, to rescue them from the oppression that they had, that they were going through. They were looking because they knew all the prophecies. They knew everything that was written about the Messiah. And they were going through some tough tough times due to rebellion, unfortunately. Though they were well aware of the Old Testament prophecies, they had made an incorrect interpretation. They made a mistake. And that was, they were looking for a powerful, conquering king. Yep. That's what they were looking for. And oftentimes, we misinterpret a few things and we come across certain conclusions that totally derail us from God's plan, from God's purpose, from God's blessing in your life. When our Lord God came, He was indeed very, very, very powerful, but He was powerful spiritually. He was powerful than anything when it comes to spiritual matters. He did magnificent things. Things that are not even recorded in the Bible. Because then it'll probably fill up a whole library of all the things that He did. Miracle-wise. So He was very, very, very powerful. Moving in the Spirit. In the Spirit of God. But the people back in that day, we're looking for something else. The Jews' misinterpretation totally blinded them to the reality of His power and how their oppression was going to be relieved. Right? They totally whiffed. That's one word that I use common. They missed the target. They completely missed it. They were blinded. They were on something else. The majority of the Jewish leadership overlooked such prophecies. We just finished reading a whole bunch of prophecies. We just finished reading so many words. But they totally whiffed on this one. Zechariah 9:9. May I have that, please? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and saving and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I mean, they totally missed that. Completely missed that. Like you wouldn't believe. Why? Because they were blinded. They had scales in their eyes. They should have seen this coming. As much zeal as they had for the Word of God, for the scrolls and the prophecies and the prophets and everything else, they completely overlooked the detailed prophecy that we see here. Something else that they completely overlooked was Psalms chapter 22, which totally foretells, and if you want to take the time right now, read Psalms 22 at its entirety, which foretells of His crucifixion at the hands of some very, very evil people. Totally whiffed on that one. They bypassed the book of Isaiah, chapter 52 and 53, which reveals that He would die a horrible death, that He would be completely disfigured while shedding His precious blood for the sins of His people. Totally overlooked that. He indeed was the very, very much awaited Messiah. He was indeed the very, very much awaited King. But for the establishment of His kingdom, the wait would be much longer. Much longer. When our Lord Jesus was crucified, you know the inscription that they put over His head, yes? What did He say? What did it say? King of the Jews, right? That's what it said. Yet, when asked just a few hours prior to that, when Pilate asked our Lord Jesus if He was a king, Our Lord Jesus replied these words in John chapter 18, verses 36. It says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from where?" From here. Our Lord God is plainly saying right now that this is not what you guys got, the wrong expectations. Your priorities are wrong. You're not looking in the right place. You're totally missing it right now. Our Lord Jesus at that very moment was pretty much saying that he was a king. He didn't deny the fact that he was a king. But not the kind of king that the Jews accused him of being. And not the kind that would threaten Rome at all. Our Lord's kingdom is not advanced by human weapons. Otherwise, his disciples would fight, as the word of God says, to prevent his capture by the Jews. Our Lord's kingdom is not from here, specifically meaning it is not from this world. It does not receive its power or authority from the world. Its aims and objectives are completely not carnal whatsoever. And therefore, things are completely different. Things are ran differently. And this is where we need to line up and be in tune also to something different. We need to in tune to the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot fight this fight in a carnal way. We cannot fight this good fight based upon our head knowledge, based upon personal beliefs, or anything of the matter. Our Lord God is not of this world, and therefore we must also be just like him. Notice the attributes of our Lord Jesus. For one, he is faithful because he will stand by us to the very end. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That's one attribute that I love. Second thing, he is true, never doing less, but always doing more than he has promised. How many times the Lord Jesus has exceeded your expectations? All the time, isn't it? So, Lord, I had no idea. I asked you for this, but you gave me this, and this was so much better. I mean, the list just goes on. We just loved being wowed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if in case you're not living that life to where the Lord is constantly just sweeping you off your feet, we need to reanalyze a few things in our life. We need to reanalyze our Christian walk with God. It's a wonderful thing for you to open up your eyes in the morning and just ask yourself, what is the Lord going to do for me today? How am I going to be wowed by the Lord today? Right? That is a wonderful feeling for someone to have. What is God going to do for me today? This is the Lord that we worship. This is the God that we give praise. This is why we come here and we lift our hands and we sing and we clap and we worship and we praise God, because he just goes far above and beyond what we can possibly imagine. This is the God we serve. This is his attribute. Our Lord God is pure as a flame. He is also in many realms. And the word of God, that is the final utterance and complete revelation of the Most High, that is our God in the Bible. The Bible is a powerful weapon. So therefore, to all of this, I'd say, let us follow. Let us obey. Let us move in the Spirit. Let us listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if we do, one thing is going to happen, and that is we will resemble Him. The Bible instructs us for us to be like Jesus, for us to be like our Lord. This is what we must do. Now, one thing to take into account, our Lord's robes are naturally white. Oh, yes, they are. But we must constantly wash ours. We must wash our robes. You know what I mean when I say that, yes? Washed under His blood, always being covered under His blood, that we may have the right to the tree of life one day and to enter this holy city of God. We must be continually washed under His blood. And folks, I am here to say that this kingdom will be established. This kingdom will come. And if in case you haven't thought about this, we are so much closer to that time than around the time when this was written, where those people were once upon a time. Things are so much closer right now. And just as the opening verse, Revelation 19:16, proclaims that He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you very much. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am anticipating that day. I am waiting for that day to come. And we will all be there because we believe in the powerful name of this King. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. Lord, we worship You. We bless Your holy name, Lord. Thank You so much, Lord, for this wonderful inheritance. Thank You, Lord, so much for Your promises, for Your gifts, for all, Lord, that You have set aside for us. Thank You, Lord, for this power that we have through the Holy Spirit, through You, Lord. And Lord, we are here to worship You. Lord, we are here to serve You. I pray, Lord, that we'd be mindful of who we are. I pray, Lord, that all the things that happen around us and everything, Lord, that is designed to distract us, I pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus could cover us. Lord, we do not want to be oblivious to our surroundings. We also, Lord, don't want to be oblivious to the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is guiding us to do and how to do, when to do it, and everything else, Father. I pray, Lord, that our ears would be open to hear what Your Holy Spirit is saying. Lord, we love You, and we will always love You forever and ever. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.